Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we look at the latest comics and other media featuring the Transformers. In this episode, we've got an Energon Universe doubleheader with back-to-back reviews of Cobra Commander number 3 and Duke number 4. Today is Friday, March 29th, 2024, and this is episode 383 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that knows all killer robots are not created equal. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. The amazing and awesome producer and editor, Mike.
Hello, everybody.
Scott, the illustrious Dr. Pants.
Howdy, everyone.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Is that Scott's new intro? He gets a little jingle before and after he says something.
could you hear that? Sorry.
Hello. We're in for it tonight, everybody. I'm buckle up. It's going to be a shit show. Let's talk about something. It's not going to be Transformers, but we're talking about something. I don't know what show this is anymore. Let's go.
Well, Daryl has to go. Bye, Daryl.
See ya.
As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal, and who asked us to continue to review the G.I. Joe part of the Energon universe.
Wait, did they? Nothing.
Yes.
Who are they? I want their names.
It was Charles' wife.
No, she doesn't pay money for this. If you'd like to support Transmissions, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/supports. That's where you can sign up to be a Donatron. For all the Donatrons who are already supporting us, we really appreciate that. Thank you for continuing to help us out. And we continue to provide those extra perks and benefits, including We Like Big Bots, our bonus show that's done by Daryl and Dr. Pants. More big bots coming in 2024, we hope. We'll see. So keep begging them. Keep harassing them. Don't harass them on social media.
Definitely. Definitely a maybe. Possibly sometime.
Right. Yes. I agree.
But what isn't in doubt is that we are getting more Transformers Empire of Rust, our Transformers live play RPG podcast, and that continues to go on. We had the Rustford Files intermission between season 2 and season 3 of Empire of Rust, and now season 3 is in full swing. We've had two episodes out, episode 110 and 111. 111 just came out this week. Thank you for revving. And the team has gone to Earth and are getting into some new adventures on Earth. So we're going to see where that goes, where that takes us. If you are a Donatron, you can get access to episode 12 in just a couple of days, next Monday. And episode 12, the bonus version, will have extra content that is cut out and edited out of the regular version. So you will be able to listen to that very soon. And a week before everyone else gets the regular version of episode 112. So lots of good stuff coming your way for Empire of Rust. Anything to add, Mike, since you're here?
It's a great time. That's all. Absolute right. Great time. Listen to it. Especially if your name is Daryl. Listen to it.
I mean, it is a really good time. Everyone who's not listening should listen. It's a lot of fun. It's a good cast. It's worth it. It's fun.
All our other listeners named Daryl will check it out. Just not this Daryl.
This Daryl's too busy.
You can also continue to save 15% off at our friends at toyhacks.com with that code LUCKYBOTS. This code will last for just a couple more days till the end of March, and then we'll have a new code starting in April. So make sure if you're getting anything from toyhacks.com, just save 15% off with our code LuckyBots. That helps out transmissions and gets you a discount at toyhacks.com. And they are still celebrating their 25th anniversary of Repro Labels. We've also got our Transformers, Skybound Transformers number one comic, our custom cover with artwork by EJ Sue. That is available on our website at transmissionspodcast.com/comic. You can continue to buy that. We will have some available at TFCon Toronto. So if you're going to TFCon Toronto, we'll be there and you can get the comic from us right there. You can pre-order it on our website, or you can just order it directly there and we will ship it to you if you can't make it to TFCon. So check that out. All right. That's all for our promos. So let's get into the show. We've got some comic reviews. All right. So, yeah. These comic reviews are not Transformers comics, but, since we had the break in TFCon, we got a little bit, we just got a week out of sync. So, I had the brilliant idea that we should double up on our G.I. Joe comics this month. Just get them right out of the way in one episode. So we've got Cobra Commander number 3 and Duke number 4. So we're going to speed through reviews of both of those comics and, we're going to talk about them. These are going to be spoiler filled, all spoilers, for both comics. So, make sure you've read them before we get into the issues. So we're going to start off. We're going to talk about Cobra Commander number 3. We're going to start off there. This is, Dreadnoks have captured, Cobra Commander. So, lots of stuff happens here and we've got a few covers here. Of course, the Energon universe has more covers than we can shake a stick at. So we're not really going to go over the covers, but, let's get into the story. All right. This is Cobra Commander number 3, writer Joshua Williamson, artist Andrea Milana, colorist Annalisa Leone, letterer Russ Wooten, editor Sean Makowicz, logo and publication design Andres Suarez, and production Jillian Crabb. So in the Florida Everglades, Cobra Commander's bodyguard wanders the swamps looking for him. The bodyguard is pissed that Cobra Commander turned off his tracker so he can't locate him. As he continues through the swamp, a python tries to attack him. The bodyguard effortlessly rips the giant snake apart while cursing the reckless missing commander he is supposed to protect. Meanwhile, Cobra Commander has found the source of Energon in the swamp, but he's also found mutated alligators that are dragging him down to the bottom of the lake. One alligator has a strong grip on his arm and shoulder and isn't letting go. The commander pulls out his pistol and shoots the Energon-infused gator in the head, but the gator shrugs it off and continues to drag him down. Suddenly, a grappling hook is shot into the water, hooking the alligator and pulling it and him back to the surface. For now, the commander's rescuer is unclear. We shift to the Dreadnoks headquarters, where Zarana and Ripper have arrived for the family meeting. Ripper yells for everyone to shut up so Zarana can give them orders. They don't quiet down fast enough, so Ripper shoots a random Dreadnok in the gut. That gets everyone's attention. Zarana tells all the Dreadnoks that it's time to make their move. She reveals a glowing pink cube, which is a sample of the power energy source, the juice, that they discovered in the swamp. They've already seen what it can do, and they're going to use it to their advantage, as well as sell it to the highest bidder. Zarana continues that they recently had a security breach with a stranger finding her brother's old lab. They've got to be careful so they keep control of the energy for themselves and don't let anyone else discover it. The stranger escaped, but with any luck, he was alone and will be lost in the swamps. But then Zarana's other brother, Xandar, arrives with the stranger, Cobra Commander, in chains. He was the one who rescued him from the mutant gators and captured him. Zarana is a little annoyed that Xandar went to the swamps since they're off limits, but they're ready to interrogate the prisoner and find out what he knows. Buzzer tries to start by taking off Cobra Commander's helmet. It doesn't go so well. The helmet delivers a painful electric shock when Buzzer touches it. Ripper laughs at his fellow Dreadnought's misfortune, and they start brawling. Zarana tells him to knock it off as she turns back to the prisoner. She asks who he is, but he only answers, "Your future master." Zarana calls in another Dreadnought torch to continue the questioning. Torch takes a blowtorch to Cobra Commander's mask, but even that isn't enough to put more than a crack in the helmet. So the Dreadnoughts move on to additional torture methods on his body rather than his head. In between the torture sessions, Cobra Commander pays close attention to his captors' conversations with each other. His observations yield tidbits that he can exploit to his advantage. The Dreadnoughts continue their torture, cutting, burning, and bludgeoning. Ripper continues the interrogation and sticks a finger into one of the commander's open wounds on his arm. Ripper finger paints a smiley face on the Cobra Commander's masks in his own blood, while continuing to taunt him. But the commander doesn't respond to his questions. Finally, it's Xander's turn. He tries a more good cop approach, asking about his technology and where he got it. Now the commander uses some of that info that he learned to make a bluff. He tells Xandar that his brother sent him on a secret mission because his sister Zarana called him. Commander tells Xandar his sister doesn't trust him and she sees him as just another henchman. Xandar swallows the bait and storms off. As he leaves, he brushes past Buzzer and calls him a poser. Buzzer is confused, but then Cobra Commander helpfully tells him that his fellow Dreadnoughts don't respect him since he's a teacher who got obsessed with biker gangs and is acting extra tough just pretending to be a Dreadnought. Buzzer gets pissed off and leaves too. Now Zarana comes back, angrily demanding to know what the commander said to her brother. She knows he's lying about knowing her other brother, but the commander stays silent. They are interrupted by Xandar and the other Dreadnoughts crashing into the room, fighting each other after being turned against each other by the commander's insinuations. Zarana yells for them to stop, and Torch fires his blowtorch over their heads to get them to stop and listen. Zarana is over dealing with this guy and orders them to take him to the bunker. Cobra Commander realizes he needs backup now and turns on the tracker in his wrist. Zarana hears the beep and angrily demands to know what he just did, but the commander doesn't give a helpful answer. Zarana tells the Dreadnoughts to get the commander out of here so they don't draw his backup close. They don't draw his backup close to their secret power source. They go outside, but all the other Dreadnoughts are just staring at a figure in the darkness. Zarana asks what they're all doing out there, and the figure comes closer into the light. He scolds the commander that he was not supposed to leave his sight. The bodyguard effortlessly rips the chains off of Cobra Commander to free him. Buzzer objects to this and yells that the prisoner is theirs. He slashes the bodyguard in the face with his chainsaw, but the bodyguard does not react and is not injured. Buzzer only managed to cut some of the synthetic skin off the bodyguard's disguise. Cobra Commander tells him that he's found the source of Energon and there's enough to power an army. He tells his bodyguard that these Dreadnoughts seek to deny Galobulus his prize. The bodyguard is nothing if not devoted to Cobra Law and Galobulus. He declares the time for subterfuge is done, and he rips off the rest of his disguise, revealing the form of the winged Cobra Law warrior, Nemesis Enforcer. The Dreadnoughts see a monster in their midst and rush to attack, but it's no use. Nemesis Enforcer makes short work of the Dreadnoughts. Cobra Commander watches silently as the screams of pain and agony echo through the night. And that is the end of Cobra Commander number 3, to be continued in the next issue. So this was this continues the kind of horror trend of Cobra Commander, with the torture and violence, and then the I think impactful end to the issue with the way the word art was used to show off how gruesome the deaths of the Dreadnoughts were. Although we don't really, since we don't see anything, we don't know who actually was killed. I mean, it might be just the background henchmen Dreadnoughts getting killed, and then all the, you know, all the original G.I. Joe characters, maybe they fled the scene and got away, but we won't know until maybe next issue or so. But It is interesting to see Cobra Commander using his you know skills of manipulation and just with simple words you know turning the dreadnoughts against each other while he was still captured. So I thought it was an interesting fun issue. And then we do get a little tidbit with where the Energon that the Dreadnoughts have been harvesting and are planning to sell off. So we've got that connection there. So continues, this Cobra Commander storyline. Only two more issues before this wraps up. So, all right, Daryl, let us have it. What did you think of this issue?
All right. The connection you speak of, this Energon, it's a fully formed cube that you see. How did they make it? How did they refine it? Where did it come from? Any of these answered, they just walk in with a fully formed Energon cube. In the regular Transformers series, everyone's having problems, you know, manufacturing this stuff, you know, getting a way to get Energon. The Dreadnoughts just walk in with it. Oh, we got this magic juice. Screw that, Charles. This is bullshit.
this was already teased in the last issue. It's in the swamp. It's a mystery. We don't know where it came from. It's just a mystery. So
just a fully formed Energon cube is just hanging out in the swamp.
No, we don't know. We don't know. I mean,
we don't know.
So Daryl, if you don't get when something is introduced, if you don't get immediate answers to the story right then it's bullshit. And any future explanations are invalid.
Yes. When it's something G.I. Joe, is when it's G.I. Joe, it's bullshit. Yeah.
All right. Is that your only complaint?
That the connection that you're using is bullshit? Yes. That's my main complaint. The art was fine. I liked the art. The word, you know, bubbles or you know the word art used to describe the scene was very similar to how the last Transformers issue was done, so I liked that. I don't know any of these characters, so when this winged warrior or whatever kind of you know blew up, I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know anything about this guy. Am I supposed to be impressed? I don't know shit about this guy. And if this is a horror comic, show me him tearing everyone apart. You know, I want to see that. They wasted like 4 pages on them interrogating Cobra Commander. You couldn't spare one splash page on him just mutilating a bunch of guys. Like, give me something here. I will continue to argue against this book being included in the podcast. But I feel as though these arguments will fall on deaf ears. The announcement obviously came. I don't know whether we were talking about it or it was handled during the show where we were away that, you know, there are more G.I. Joe books coming. I may need to take a sabbatical. So just laying it out here, I know we're not done talking about G.I. Joe for tonight, so I will just pass it along and be done with it.
All right. Mike, we'll go to you.
Me? Well, this was unexpected.
That we were going to talk to you.
All right. I don't think I've been on during any of the Joe. No, I was on during one of the Duke ones, but not Cobra Commander. I think I have a similar complaint to like a lot of the books that I've read here from Skybound. And it's while each individual issue and even like the story arcs themselves, they're okay. No problem with them. They're competently written and entertaining for what they are. I do tend to disagree with the choices that they make in it. When Zarana came into the headquarters, the lair, the house, whatever the hell it was, she tried to get everyone's attention and she couldn't. So she shot one of her gang members, like in the stomach, like not like, oh, hey, I just shot you in the leg, you know, you'll be fine kind of shit. No, she shot him like right in the abdomen. He's going
to
bleed out.
To be fair, it was Ripper that did it, not Zarana. And she didn't appear to order him. I don't know. He's just violent. It's a little out there.
Okay. I've never been in a gang.
What?
I don't know how this shit works. But my guess is that just shooting fellow gang members is probably frowned upon. Shooting other gang members? Sure. Why not? We'll go with that. You know what? I think I'm going to ask Dr. Pants on this one because he clearly has the most experience with gangs.
Does work.
You know what? When it's an unnamed character, we have no problem shooting them in the stomach to make
it. I know, right? Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So,
and this is
Mercedramus is kind of a gang.
Yes, but all of our members have names, which is why none of them get shot in the stomach to make a point.
And so this is, I think, indicative of a lot of the stuff that's been going on in the Energon universe. It's not bad. It's just, it's not my cup of tea. It's just, you know, it's just not really what I want.
And, yeah, I mean, I agree that did seem weird to me that you're just going to, like, I feel like the point was to make it look like these are the worst of the worst, that they're so bad that they just randomly shoot their own people. But still, it's kind of like.
And then they talk about family and it's like, no, you're mixed messages here.
I kind of understand what you're talking about, Mike, because it seems to me that there's an overabundance of like hyper violence. For the sake of there being violence.
Not just in the Joe books, but in like
In all of the Energon universe, it seems like there is this overabundance of violence for the sake of violence to be like, ooh, look, it's an adult take on this subject, so we have to include all this violence. And I agree with you to an extent, and I definitely saw it more in this book, but I mean when it gets to me I'll say my piece. But I do agree with you here.
So I actually, there was a lot of elements in it that I thought were kind of neat. Like what you're mentioning, Charles, Cobra Commander's like ability to kind of manipulate people just kind of by watching them for a little while. You know, he watched them for like a couple of hours or a day or something, and he got a handle on who they are and how they act on each other. It's like, okay, cool. That I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly okay with Cobra Commander not being this, like, 80s cartoon villain. Mm-hmm. Sure. I am okay with the Dreadnoughts, you know, like being like a family of like of gangsters. They're like, okay, sure, fine, whatever. They've been wanting to improve their station in life. Totally fine. I'm okay with Nemesis Enforcer there, like pretending to be a human and ripping his skin off and just going to town on these people. Like, all right, cool. Sure, whatever. It's just, I don't care about the story. I don't know. Like, so I did a reread of the IDW Joe series, and then there's like four different volumes of this stuff too already. And it's like the first like volume of it, it was very slow moving, but it's like, okay, I totally see like the whole military aspect of it. And I thought, all right, cool. I can get behind this. There's tons of extra characters. I don't necessarily care about what's happening with each of them, but whatever. I can get behind like the overall idea. I can't get behind the overall plot with this. They're using Cobra Commander as like a foil for Cobra in this case, but that doesn't exist. Cobra doesn't exist. G.I. Joe doesn't exist. And, you know, presumably we'll get to them at some point, but I'm just not engaged with the story, and I just don't care. And nothing that's happened so far has really made me want to care about Cobra Commander or any of the characters in here. They're just kind of there they are. I had one question though. How is the Joe movie looked at in the Joe fandom? Because the Transformers movie is looked at fairly fondly by most Transformers, at least most G1 Transformers fans. Is the same thing true for Joe fans?
My understanding is that a significant portion of the Joe fandom is not a fan of the Joe movie because it brings in this fantastical element of Cobra Law and kind of like, you know, makes the origin of Cobra into this, like, as this, you know, stalking horse for an alien, basically an alien invasion, rather than just being kind of, you know, human-based terrorist organization. And that, you know, in particular in the comics, Larry Hama never brought Cobra Law into the G.I. Joe storyline, so the comics Cobra origin is completely different. And
okay.
Before this Skybound Energon universe, Cobra Law has not been reused much in any other form. I think some of the Devil's Due comics, like the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover Devil's Due comics, used Cobra Law a little bit, but for the most part, it has not been used.
And they made mention of it as a religious organization in the IDW series for it, but yeah, okay. No, that's actually good to know. Like, it's, and I guess I tend to agree with that. I like G.I. Joe as like a counter-terrorist organization. I think that's where its strength is. And when you start trying to make it into like the cartoon, it kind of loses some things when it starts adding like the weird, like fantastic elements to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, I don't have a strong opinion either way, but my thought is, for if you're going to have a shared universe with Transformers, which are already like giant alien robots, adding in, you know, this weird kind of reptilian society on Earth is less out of place than if it was just a straight, you know, military comic. So
I'm
not super invested in the Joe storyline either, but I'm still enjoying the ride. So
I think the last thing that I'll say about it is, when, like, if you're having a G.I. Joe comic and the main antagonists are Transformers, I'm okay with that. It's a weird bit of genre blending, because I don't think that the two shows, like, even though they've crossed over plenty of times and it may seem like it's a good fit to cross over, I really don't think it is. Because G.I. Joe, again, I think its strength comes from its, like, its military background, like, storylines. I think it really shines with those. Transformers, I think, shines with a lot of, like, the space opera stuff that first came around in the Marvel comic, and then later in IDW and later cartoon series and movies and everything. So I think it works best when you have the kind of larger universe. And the two, like, when you have those two kind of focuses on it, the two just don't mix well.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I guess we'll see how Skybound handles that, because yeah, that's something they're going to have to deal with pretty soon in the future.
The only other option is to keep Transformers as a, like, a an on the ground kind of survival story, in which, you know, G.I. Joe actually has the capability of defending the planet against them, like, if they go violent. Otherwise, it's like It's ridiculous. It's an alien. It's an alien invasion force. You know, it can't be stopped that easily.
And anyway, we're already we know that Skybound has ambitions for the space opera stuff because they started with Void Rivals, and Void Rivals is already going in that direction. And eventually, there's going to be some touch point between Void Rivals and the all the Earth based books. So, yeah, I don't know what their plans are there. We'll see. All right, Dr. Pants, what were your thoughts having not read the previous issues of Cobra Commander?
So going in blind, I was like, whoa, what is going on in Cobra Commander? Overall, I agreed with Mike a little bit that like it seems like in a lot of these Energon Universe books, there's a lot of hyperviolence for the sake of hyperviolence. In this one, I mean, you have the interrogation scene, and you do get to see, and that leads to then Cobra Commander displaying his whole, oh, if I observe them, I can manipulate them, which is a cool scene, and it's really cool to see Cobra Commander like do something like that. But I will say that scene feels really cliched. I feel like we've seen scenes like that so many times where the person being interrogated or tortured is just listening to the people bicker and then use that against them to get out of it. But none of it that did not seem like it helped him really get out of it. It wasn't until he hit the tracker button, and that's what made them go, oh, let's take him out, and then he got rescued. So the whole using their bickering against each other, it didn't really help them, it seemed. I don't know. Also, did anyone else get really strong, like, we're trying to make a Joker connection vibe here with, like, painting the smiley face on him and then, like, the way the word art is used in the last page, like, the help and, like, I feel like it's trying to be that ha-ha kind of, like, graffiti style. And it felt very, very much like it was supposed to be the Joker from Batman and not Cobra Commander. I don't...
Interesting take on it, certainly.
I don't get that vibe, but that's an interesting, yeah, it's an interesting point.
It's just the way it felt to me, but I'm not the biggest Joe fan. I was as a kid, and like honestly, I didn't keep up with it. I don't remember a lot. I forgot about the Cobra Law stuff till you just brought it up. So thanks. but
welcome.
But like I don't mind the book, but at the same time I'm like, so what is the story going on here? Obviously they want the Energon, and I'm curious to see where it goes with the tie-in, because I kind of feel like that this whole tie-in thing is going to lead to what was it, Revolutionaries in IDW, where it turned out Mask developed their technology from reverse engineering like Cybertronians, because they had kidnapped Blitzwing. Yeah. I feel like they're going to do something very similar here, where they're going to get all those cool G.I. Joe and Cobra weapons by taking the Transformers technology and integrating it into Earth tech, which I kind of saw more with the next issue we're going to talk about. So I'll get to that. But I don't know. It's all right. I'll still take Transformers over this. I didn't hate reading this. The artwork is cool. It's just, I don't know. It didn't seem anything like really wowing other than the pure shock of reading it and being like, oh, there's a Cobra Commander book. Oh.
Well, Dr. Pants, are you aware of what happens in issue one of Cobra Commander?
Like, not even a little bit.
Okay. Well, go read that issue. Cause there is a significant Transformers connection in issue one that starts off the whole storyline. So,
okay. Fair enough.
I won't immediately spoil you on it. So.
Thank you. I think what I'm trying to say is issue three a good jumping on point? No. I have no idea what's going on. But it wasn't bad. I enjoyed the read.
All right. Let's move on to our next review. All right. So next issue that we're going to talk about is Duke number 4. So this is the penultimate issue in the Duke miniseries. So issue, this will wrap up with issue 5 next month. So we, the Duke storyline was moving around, moving pretty quickly. So, you can, we'll talk about that, in this review. So, all right, let's get into it. So of course, spoilers for Duke number 4. Hopefully you've read it before you're listening to or watching this. Duke number 4, writer Joshua Williamson, artist Tom Riley, colorist Jordi Belair, letterer Russ Wooten, editor Sean Makowicz, logo and publication design Andres Suarez, and production Jillian Crabb. So this continues with where Duke was in issue 3. The pit was being stormed by mercenaries, and that continues here. Blood's mercenaries continue their assault on the pit with Stalker pinned down at the entrance. Stalker tries to call for backup, but all his communications are jammed, and he's running out of anima. He decides to fall back to the jail below, hoping Rock and Roll and the others are doing better there. Speaking of below, the Baroness has Duke at her mercy. She saved his life by shooting Blood, but since he's got a hefty bounty on his head, she's happy to collect. Duke isn't intimidated. He tells her the people after him aren't going to let it end with him and will probably go scorched earth, meaning she'll be caught up in it too. He won't negotiate with her and gives her a simple choice, either help him or shoot him and be done with it. Baroness considers for a moment and decides to help. Meanwhile, Rock and Roll and Clutch have taken care of the other mercenaries. Just as Baroness is helping Duke up after being shot in the leg by Blood last issue, Stalker arrives to put a knife to her neck, but Duke defuses the situation and tells him she's with him. They're all in this together now, with the people above still on the assault. Stalker tells them if they try to go up and out, they'll be walking right into a firing squad, so Duke says they'll go down. The group goes further into the depths of the pit to a chamber that was a warehouse for decommissioned and experimental equipment. Tanks, planes, and ATVs are all here, but there's no ammunition. Clutch, the mechanic, is in heaven. He'll be able to rig these old vehicles for a demolition derby. Outside, the mercenaries are wondering where their leader, Blood, is. And just then, he comes out of the base bleeding profusely from his left eye. The soldiers are surprised he's still alive and want to get him to a medic, but Blood is just pissed. He orders them to bomb the whole facility to the ground, and they'll pick through any survivors or bodies later. But before they can execute the order, the whole base rises out of the ground. The team comes barreling out of the base with Duke driving a fighter plane, Stalker in a tank, and Clutch driving an assault transport. They crash into the mercenaries and knock them around like bowling pins and destroying their landed helicopters. The mercenaries are driven into a full retreat. Blood is enraged and orders them to fight back until he is knocked on his ass. Baroness takes advantage of the confusion to commandeer one of the mercenaries' helicopters and escape on her own, much to Salker's dismay. And with the area clear, Duke decides to take off and fly the jet to the source of the signal of Dr. Burkhart's technology. Clutch radios him to try and convince him to turn himself into Colonel Hawk, but Duke says he's got to see this through. Clutch wishes him good luck as he flies away. In the Mars base, Destro is overseeing his weapons engineers. The weapons being created are consuming massive amounts of energy, and the power sources they have aren't efficient enough to work consistently. Mercer interrupts with another problem. Blood failed his mission, and Duke escaped. Destro rightly deduces that Duke will be coming for them, and they need to get ready. He orders them to tell Scrap Iron to get his new weapons ready. Duke flies his jet to the location he found on the tracker, a remote region in the mountains. He wants answers for what happened to his friend Frost when he was murdered by a giant transforming robot. The secret Mars base sees him coming and they're ready for him. Scrap Iron has two surface-to-air missiles ready and fires immediately. Duke tries to dodge, but he's hit and the jet crashes. Scrap Iron is pleased to see his target destroyed, but when he surveys the crash site, there's no sign of Duke's body. Somehow, Duke escaped again. Duke manages to crawl into the Mars base and finds another cache of weapons along with a massive battery for powering something. Duke continues to wander around knowing that he's being watched. He calls out his adversaries that he's going to expose them and kill their giant flying robot, but he doesn't realize another machine has come online and is about to strike. A humanoid robot with a claw for a right hand grabs him by the neck and starts squeezing. It looks like Duke is no match for a battle android trooper. To be continued. So that is Duke number 4. So we're continuing with it looks like we're getting some kind of explicit tie-ins with the, you know, this need for energy. So I think that's where Dr. Pants was mentioning, oh, it looks like somehow the Destro and Mars will get their hands on Energon, and then that'll power all their you know, special weapons, and then that's how Cobra comes to being. So I think it's the setup is it's kind of you're getting a clear picture of where things are going. We've got the introduction of the battle android trooper. Those were a big deal for back in the day with Cobra, their set of robot soldiers. So it was for when, instead of having human Cobra soldiers later on, you could have robots that the G.I. Joes could actually shoot and actually hit instead of just fire around. So since they could hit them and blow them up without actually killing anybody. So, interesting to see them reintroduced. I think Duke has been moving pretty fast paced. Like each issue has pushed things forward pretty quickly. So, I'm happy to see the story moving at a good pace. Like in this story, he goes from escaping the detention center and those mercenaries to already getting to finding the secret base with with this technology that he was looking for that he incorrectly assumes is connected to Starscream killing his friend back in Transformers number 2. It's funny that Duke has been set on this mission crusade to infiltrate this this technology company all because he thinks they're behind the death of his friend when they're not connected at all, really. So it's just funny to see that continue. But I enjoyed this issue, and I'm curious to see how they're going to, like, one more issue to wrap everything up. I'm curious, like, how far he's going to get to, he's kind of put himself in an unwinnable position here, being surrounded by enemies. So, we'll see. Mike, what did you think of this issue?
Starting with me. All right. So I have kind of similar thoughts about the Duke series as I do about Cobra Commander. In the end, I just don't particularly care for the story. It's certainly an interesting and a new take. I'm not just talking about like this issue here, but just kind of in general, like the Duke miniseries. It's an interesting take on that character, because in nearly every version for that character that I've read, he's always been this kind of like buttoned up, very proper soldier kind of character. And it is kind of interesting to see him taken out of that environment and having to deal with other things, having to deal with new things. So that's cool. It's almost a little tragic, because by the time we get to the end, like he's off on this quest to find out, like who killed his friend, not realizing it's just, okay, has nothing to do with humans at all. Mm-hmm. And presumably by the end of the series, he'll have come to this conclusion and realize that, okay, Mars Industries is not responsible for this at all. So, what can you do? But I guess it just kind of leaves me as like, meh, it's okay, interesting. It's not something that I'd recommend to anyone else. It's not something that I would go back and read again. It was an interesting read for what it was, but once it's done, I don't think I'm ever going to go back and read like the Duke series again. I mean, I could say the same thing for Cobra Commander too, unless something changes in the next like few months. But was it who said that? Who had said that it was like 5 years or something? Like later, like past Transformers. Is that the time frame for this, or is it?
No, it was like the first issue was like 6 months after the incident. So So we're 6 months past where the original Transformers story arc took place. So I guess the assumption is that the Transformers in 6 months have not revealed themselves to the larger population on Earth. So
yeah, I guess so. Yeah, just again, I think meh is kind of like the big response for me. And again, I'm not a Joe guy either, so maybe it's just not the target audience for it. But no, just it is what it is. It's not it's well written. Action is kind of nice as a standalone story. Cool, great. I don't care.
All right, Daryl, do you care even less?
You got it. I mean, I may have missed something, but was there any connection to Transformers in this issue?
You mentioned that he's going to get them for killing the giant robot for killing his friend. He's going to kill their giant robot that they don't have because they're not connected to Starscream at all.
This whole story was started because of Starscream. Without Starscream, without Transformers, we wouldn't even have a Duke series. There's your connection.
These connections are terrible. Honestly, I didn't mind this book as a story as on its own. I liked the action sequence at the beginning. I liked seeing blood all mangled. Pardon me. It's late and I read a boring book. I mean, I know that Duke is supposed to be some kind of like superhero. I'm interested to know how he survived a plane crash. Without any kind of like parachute or anything. He was flying that Tomahawk with, in a t-shirt and, you know, cargo pants, you know? So, you know, he's maybe he's superhuman.
He's also shot in the leg too.
That's true. Apparently, yes. He's very, you know,
it apparently just stops bleeding on its own.
The cockpit gets pressurized and you know, that does something to the bleeding. Right. I don't know. The book itself was fine. Again, at the end of this, same with Cobra Commander, the reveal of the big reveal at the end of, you know, in Cobra Commander with the, you know, the warrior, whatever, with the wings. And then this one with the Robo Trooper. Yeah. Right. I remember this toy. I don't remember what it was called. I remember somebody having one when I was a kid, but, I was like, oh wait, that's a thing. Yeah. And
I told you what they were called. The Battle Android Trooper. That's what they're called.
Yes, but you didn't tell me when I was reading it. So when I was reading it, I was like, oh wait, I remember that was a thing. And then I should know what that is. Well, I don't, but I knew that it was a thing and I knew that it was probably important. So, so that's about my connection with that.
Well, Daryl, I have to tell you, if you had been listening to the Rustford Files these last few months, there was also a reference to the Battle Android Troopers in the final episodes of the Rustford Files. So if you had listened to those, you would have picked up on that reading this comic.
You know exactly what they are.
No, I'm not. No. Anyway, I mean, the book is fine. I don't know who this, you know, this other guy is with the scarred face that did the, that shot the missiles at Duke.
Yeah. That's another Cobra character, Scrap Iron. I don't know much about him, but he's another Cobra character.
I mean, I'm assuming that G.I. Joe fans are reading these books and creaming their pants at the sight of all these characters that they, you know, haven't seen in fiction for forever. But, and I'm happy for them. I don't care about the characters. I know who Duke is. I know who Baroness is. You know, when we complain and for Transformers that, when anything in the media is made or any kind of merchandise, it's Optimus and Megatron and Bumblebee and Starscream and maybe Grimlock. Those are the G.I. Joe characters I know. I know Cobra Commander. I know Duke. I know Baroness. I know, what's his nuts? The one with the silver face. That guy.
Destro.
Destro. Yeah, that's the one. I know him too.
Arthur, you know, Burkhart
himself. Yeah, I know the top five. I know the main players there.
Snake Eyes, Scarlet.
Snake Eyes, exactly. I know Snake Shipwreck. Eyes. I wouldn't recognize Shipwreck, but I, you know,
he looks like a sailor. Yeah. How would
you... I wouldn't know his name. So yeah, but anyway, that's me with G.I. Joe. So I get why they, you know, when they go deep like this, it's you lost me.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing here with Major Blood getting shot in the eye, that's because the character has an eye patch. So this is showing the origin of his eye patch here.
Gotcha.
So. Right, Dr. Pants, having also not read any of the previous issues of Duke.
I read Duke number one. I read Duke
number one. Okay, you read Duke number one. Okay, right. All right, fair enough.
So I'm not as lost. In this, I have some idea what's going on. I like this more than Cobra Commander, mostly because, like I said with Cobra Commander, it felt really cliched, kind of tropey. The action sequence is really good. I do like the part where in the beginning where Baroness has the gun to Duke's head, and while they're talking, it's interspersed with scenes of the other characters like just kicking the ass of all the other guys. And mm-hmm. it's well done. Like the way this is all put together, the color palette is very small or limited, it feels, but they do a lot with it. And like artwork wise, the way the book is put together, it's really good. I do like it. I like the Baroness's design in this too. It's very much, you can recognize she's the Baroness, but it's not the exact same design we've gotten used to. So I'm going to give them credit for that. I like it. As I said in the previous review, I'm not a Joe guy. And while I did know who Shipwreck is and I know who like Roadblock is and a couple of other characters, I don't know who some of these people are who are in this book. And like, yeah, if you're a Joe fan, you probably know, and you do know. I don't know why I'm saying you probably know, you do know. So it's a little lost on me. But again, the action is really cool. I do like that. I like them talking about, you know, the energy needed for the weapons, because, again, that just goes into my theory that they're just going to take the Transformers technology, specifically the Energon, and they're going to create Cobra. When they talk about, though, like Duke and his comrades, they find the vehicles and they're like, oh, they're all old and decommissioned and whatnot, and some were experimental. We're probably going to get some weird vehicles out of that, or some of the experimental vehicles, maybe they'll, you know, eventually bring in some Cybertronian technology to make some crazy stuff. That's kind of what I was referring to. As far as Duke getting out of the plane, the only, I looked through this so much to find any indication of how he got out of the plane. And the only thing I could see is when, I'm sorry, what was his name? Scrap Iron. When he goes up to the plane, you can see that the canopy's been blown off. So I'm only assuming he ejected at the last second out of the ejector chair or something, and maybe the parachute was on that. I don't know. The last scene against the Bat, the battle android trooper. I know that character too. I forgot what it was called. I'm just like, it's a Cobra robot, but it's not snake named. It's something else that's sillier. And then when you said battle android trooper, I'm like, Bat. That's right.
Yeah.
Why did they call it Bat? Could they not come up with a snake pun? Like, why not Boa, battle operated android? There, it's snake themed. I solved your problem. Like, isn't that what Cobra did? Wasn't everything like snake themed? Like, they had his tanks. But I mean, I'm splitting hairs here. Like, It's fine.
Well, I mean, it's a good question. We need to go back to 1986 and ask the Hasbro team what they were thinking.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of snake names you could have used, plenty of snake words. I'm sure you can come up with something. I like Duke overall better than Cobra Commander. Now, granted, I have not read through the full, you know, all the issues of each one, but based on the issues I've read, I do like Duke a little bit better. Granted, Duke is just on this like murder spree of, you killed my friend with your giant robot, therefore I want to kill you. And it's a story of vengeance and everything, and I'm kind of curious where it's going to go to. But I don't know. It's fun. It's fun. Like I said, I kind of like the way the book's done. Art wise, composition wise, it's cool.
Yeah, although I question why Duke is like going off with no backup, no support. He's going to go single-handedly. He's got shot in the leg. He's going to go single-handedly into this facility and do something. Like, how does he expect to walk out of this alive? I mean, why would he expect them to not just kill him? I
have a theory, and that theory is that he's not actually he didn't actually intend to tell them to go by themselves. I think he said that while the Baroness was around so that it didn't get leaked out that he had other help coming in any way whatsoever. And instead, he's planning on them to show up in some secretive way somehow. He's not going in by himself. You know?
Okay.
But listen. Otherwise, this just turns into an action movie and he's going to die hard this. Which is cool, too. By all means, die hard it. John McClane the hell out of the Mars base. But, like, we just got to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, it's going back to, like, well, are we 80s cartoon villains or are we competent villains? Because if a random dude comes into my secret lair and is like, I know you're watching me. I know you can hear me. I'm going to expose you. I just say, okay, henchman number two, can you shoot that guy in the head, please? This is a problem for us. There's no additional work to be done.
To be fair, they did send one thing after Duke to start, and it is the bat. Now granted the bat there, it's probably a test run for it to see, can it handle one guy? If so, throw it into production. If not, but it's, I mean, come on, this is very like Saturday morning cartoon esque mm-hmm. and it's what G.I. Joe is. And I'd kind of be sad if they didn't do that a little bit.
Yeah. That's fair enough. I mean, it's just, you know,
no, we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Or not. We could just skip it.
The people have demanded it. The people have said they want more G.I. Joe on this Transformers podcast. And honestly, it might just be because Daryl is so against it. The rest of them are like, let's piss Daryl off. So Daryl, you got to start liking the G.I. Joe books and then you'll have to stop reviewing them.
Listen, we are the gatekeepers of media right here. We're the ones who choose what is and is not news.
I don't think I have any say in that because I'm on the B+ team. I don't think I have much input into what happens. I'm just told. I'm not really
the person who gets to choose is the one who puts the show notes doc together before the show starts. So if anyone else wants, I do that every week. So if anyone else wants to do that, they can decide. So. All right. That's all. So we did it. We made it through two G.I. Joe Energon Universe reviews in one show, Alt Mode. So next week we can go straight into Void Rivals. And then the week after that is another Transformers issue. So, good times coming forward. Hopefully there'll be a Transformers reference in Void Rivals number 8. We'll see. We know we're definitely getting a Transformer in Void Rivals number 9, but I hope Void Rivals number 8 has some surprises in store for us. We'll see. But that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks everyone for watching. As always, at the end of every episode, we give a shout out to our masterpiece donatrons. These are the folks who continue to support the podcast on our highest level on Patreon, and that's why they deserve a mention in every episode. So thank you once again to John Forrest Levengood and Demon Tech 82. You guys are awesome. And you know, Mike, Dr. Pants, you guys are also awesome too. Thank you for coming on this week, helping us out. Jeremy's away, so you know that makes things extra difficult, since he does all the audio and image stuff and video manipulation stuff. I had to figure out how to do that on my own this week. Thanks for adding your voices here. We really appreciate it. Mike, anything else going on for you besides checking out Empire of Rust?
Not especially. You can give me a follow on Instagram at Minervion, MINERVION, right down there. And I occasionally put up some toy photography that you might enjoy looking at. Otherwise, continue or start, Daryl, listening to Empire of Rust.
TransmissionsPodcast.com/Rust. Dr. Pants, what's new with you? What should we check out for you on Nerdstradamus?
Just go watch Nerdstradamus. Go to the YouTube page. Check us out. There's like 500 videos up. So there's like all kinds of stuff. We've been doing this since 2016. It's been 8 years. So there's plenty of stuff to check out. We'll be throwing up some new stuff here soon. And check out TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. But, you know, just come say hi. Enjoy what we've done.
All right. Okay, thanks everyone for watching and listening. We'll see you next week for more transmissions. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
See ya.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.